Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth to Power Show, and my name is Beverly. And tonight I have another interesting and inciting guest, and his name is Professor Griff of the Public Enemy rap group. I'm waiting for Professor Griff to call in, so he should be calling in shortly. He's going to kind of break things down. He's going to look at things, the hip-hop industry from a metaphysical point of view, how they do a lot of rituals, what's going on behind the scenes, what is going on with hip-hop today, the difference between rap, hip-hop, what he thinks about the president, new president, Obama. And so there's a lot of things that he's going to cover. He's even going to talk about the black church, what he feels that's going on with the black church and with the psyche of the African-American people in the community. And so there's a lot of things here that he is going to cover, we are going to talk about. Professor Griff, a lot of people that is familiar with the hip-hop industry is familiar with Public Enemy and Chuck D. And so he is very out there, opinionated. He also has a book that's coming up. And so this should be a very informative show here with Professor Griff. And so let me put my music on, and I'm going to check in and just listen to my music and let me see where is my guest at. We might have some time differences here. So just hold on, be patient with me, and I'll be back. Okay, this is Beverly, and you're listening to the Truth to Power show, and I'm back, and we had a little mix-up, and so Professor will be on the phone shortly. Who's this? This is area code 404.
This is Professor Griff.
Well, how you doing, Professor Griff, and thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Oh, give thanks. Pleasure being here.
Okay. Well, you got a lot of information to give us, and can you kind of give us your well, first tell us, for the people that don't know Professor Griff, he is with the legendary rap group called Public Enemy, and also you writing a book now?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm in the middle of three books. I lost two books in a house fire in 2008, February 10, 2008, and I almost completed the books and lost them, lost computers, lost clothes, everything. So I had to kind of like try to revamp and restructure the books. Mm-hmm. One of the books is entitled Analytics, which is 20 years of interviews and conversations with myself. A lot of people don't realize that I'm not no spring chicken. I've been in this for a minute. You understand what I'm saying? And
yeah.
Been on the front lines for a long time, even before Public Enemy, before the music thing took place. But the other book is entitled Music Biz, RIP, Resource Information Public, Resource Information Publication, pardon me. And I did it simply because a lot of times brothers was approaching me with their demo in hand, trying to get put on, but didn't have the first clue about publishing and copyrights and, you know, that kind of thing. So I put a small pamphlet together to educate these young brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three books.
Okay.
And the last one is The Psychological Covert War on Hip Hop.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did you get into the industry?
You talking about the music industry?
Yes, the music. Yes.
The music industry as it is today. I tell people all the time, it called me instead of me calling it.
Okay.
I had no desire to be in the industry when it came to rap and hip-hop. I had no desire. I was a DJ. I liked playing the music at that time. But when the conscious era of hip-hop kind of kicked in, I was there with the other brothers in Public Enemy to kind of bring about a level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of chose me. I didn't come in as a rapper. I didn't come in as any of these things. I came in as the Minister of Information, leader of the S1W, Security of the First World. So I came in with a title that was unknown by a lot of people in the quote-unquote music industry. They're like, what does the Minister of Information do? How are you the leader of the S1Ws? What is that?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole lot of questions. But Public Enemy, we came in doing a whole lot of things different. I didn't really expect people to understand, but after a while they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and y'all blew up, as they say.
Well, that's what they say. We don't use that particular kind of dialogue or saying simply because we like to say we've raised the consciousness level of our people.
Okay, and you did. Now, coming up to the time now, we have a black president. They say it's the first black president, but from my understanding, we've had other black presidents, but this is the first one that has came into office saying that he is black. So what is your take on this political era that we're in?
Well, first of all, we need to correct that particular language. He's not
the
first black president. You and I both know that, and like you just stated, there's been black presidents prior to Barack Obama. He is the first African-American president.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do is define black and stick
mm-hmm.
to it. And we need to come up with a fundamental working definition of what black is, because everything that we see with hue, shade, and some color to it is not necessarily black.
Mm-hmm.
And Barack Obama does not represent that. He represents the African-American constituency that helped Barack Obama get into office. And I think he's going to continue to speak for them. You understand what I'm saying? Now, as far as being black, I don't see any of the grassroots organizations or individuals, individual or collective, benefiting from Barack Obama being an African American over a white reality. So if you're the new face of fascism and racism and imperialism, then that doesn't, that speaks volumes for those of us that are wise.
Well, what do you think about...
If you just... Pardon me?
Go ahead. Go ahead with your thoughts.
If you're just going along to get along and just happy that your ass is in America and you're a damn American and you halfway got a job and a piece of car and somewhere to live, and you're just happy because cosmetically we have somebody with some complexion in the White House, then cool. If that's the extent of it, that's cool. But if you really want to see this thing that, this slogan that he ran on change, and yes, we can, I truly want to see some change. And as we've seen recently in the news with Dr. Henry Louis Gates, that Negro getting arrested, you know it ain't no change in America. Because if they had arrested that Negro, you know what the rest of us are in for.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to go there. You know, well, he stood up for his friend.
He said he stood up for his man. That Negro turned around and apologized. He apologized talking about the cop wasn't stupid. Now, you and I both know, being as black as we are, know damn well that was a dumbass cop. That if you in my living room, and I'm telling you I didn't break into my own house, and here's my ID. This is my house. I'm showing you deeds to the house. And I'm asking you to excuse yourself. You understand what I'm saying? And you still going to arrest me? Please. That's a signal that should be sent out to black people to let us know, hey, a damn thing changed in America.
And you know, if he did Gates like that, and Gates is married, his wife is white, and he, you know, and he, hey, from what I'm hearing, he doesn't, he's not connected with the black, what do you call it, activists. And so he, if he can do him like that, where, you're right, we are in trouble.
Yes. You know, you and I don't stand on it. We don't stand a chance in
heaven, boy. Wow. And then what makes it so bad is the officer, he taught, didn't he teach race relations or something like that?
Exactly, to the academy, to the other young officers in the academy. He teaches this stuff.
So I imagine if you was to go to his class, you probably, he probably says one thing and you can pick up other things. You probably can.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you know what that is. So where do you think we head? Where do you think black folks are? What kind of chance do we have with this political climate that we have here? Well, what's going on here?
No, go on. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm just asking.
When you define politics, politics is the science of governing people.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say politics, either you mean many tricks or you truly mean that particular science that they've kind of perfected to govern black people. They even said in Rex 84, the King Alfred plan, then we're nothing but useless eaters. We're sheeple. And we have to understand that. There's only a few people that's going to benefit from Barack Obama being president of the United States, and we have to understand that. The rest of us have to come together and do what every other leader has taught us that we need to do. We need to unify. We need to accept our own and be ourselves. We need to put a black agenda on Barack Obama's table, or his desk, rather, pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you follow me. And until we do this, we're going to continue to suffer. And the worst is yet to come.
And, you know, most people, we look to Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton to speak for the masses of black folks. And like you say, I think we need to create our own leaders and quit letting other people create our leaders for us.
Exactly. Well, they're not really created. They're made.
Made, you're right.
Some hand-picked, made leaders for us to lead us right to the damn slaughterhouse. As long as these Negroes get a check.
Well, Professor, I'm going to go to the line and let this caller ask the question or comment.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and talk some more. Area code 510, do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, this is Brother Eric. I just have a comment from my brother, Professor Griff. Man, if it wasn't
okay,
for you,
here.
Pardon me?
I said, I'm here, I'm listening.
Yeah, if it wasn't for you, Chuck D and Public Enemy and the whole gamut of the group, man, I wouldn't have the knowledge that I had today. It was Public Enemy that conjured up thought and made me who I was today, because I was an avid listener of rap music and caught up in that era back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was really flourishing, and then when that black movement came, and with y'all's message hit me so hard, and the things that you were saying, I didn't even understand what you guys were saying, you see. So I had to go and do my research. So you guys were dropping seeds. And
mm-hmm.
I give you big ups, because my whole frame of thinking, my whole knowledge is based on the group Public Enemy, what you've given to me. So I give you much love for that, brother. That's from
the
heart.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Thank
you.
But
we also have to keep in mind that it's coming through me. It's not me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not my body. I'm in my body. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that information is coming through me to individuals like that brother that just called. And that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that he's a testimony of me doing my job.
Yeah, yeah. Now, do you see a difference between when you and Public Enemy were back then and now? What kind of difference do you see?
In reference to the group?
Well, no, it's reference to black folks, the situation. Have things gotten better, or have it gotten worse, or is it about the same? And
no,
especially the young people.
Well, we can't say young people as though young people is just isolated kind of group of people. Hell,
okay.
They have parents, right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They have parents, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Somebody left the world intact. Somebody left racism intact to the point where it would affect young people the way it's affecting young people. And all we're seeing is young people responding to the madness that we failed to deal with. Because we left the world in this condition for young people to deal with, and they can't handle that. So yes, I think it's one of these. You ever been on a roller coaster, the ups and downs and curves and unexpected dips?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we're going through now. You know, culturally, I think back in the day, I always say desperate times call for desperate measures. Back in the day when Public Enemy hit the scene, they were doing the same thing that they were doing in hip-hop then, bragging about their cars, bragging about how many chicks they got, bragging about their fat dookie gold rope chains and their sneakers and their Sherlin coats and this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when Public Enemy came on the scene, we silenced all of that. And the only reason why a lot of these rappers are getting away with the madness today, because there's not a Public Enemy on the scene that's checking the madness. As long as there was consciousness in the world, as long as there's consciousness on the scene, all that other madness got to take a back seat.
Mm-hmm.
And it did, because we spoke truth to power, and we weren't afraid, and we was right in people's face with it. Now, there's none of these groups, not Common, not Kanye West, Jay-Z, none of them will speak up and stand up for the hurt masses of our people, because they know who signed their paychecks. And we have to understand that particular dynamic.
So they've been bought off, basically.
Pardon me?
They have been bought off. They have
bought
too much to lose.
Yep.
Okay.
And they've taken the oath.
Now what? Now I've heard you. Now I know. Well, I don't know, but I've heard that in music and in the entertainment industry, there is a lot of rituals and things that secret society and secret stuff going on. Is that true?
That's very true. You can look at and listen to some of Jay-Z's songs. You can watch what Kanye West and Nas is doing. And you can watch these people and see who and how this thing is being played out. And a lot of them know the secret handshakes and know the code words and, you know, these things are out there, and these people are being brought in to control the masses of our people who love hip-hop. That's no secret. The preacher did it. The Negro intellectual did it. You understand what I'm saying? And with hip-hop, it's no different.
Hmm. Because it seems like when hip-hop first started, it was like that the people who was doing the hip-hop had control, but it seems like when they got connected with the boardroom, it seems like then they start getting handled. People start telling them they should do videos this way or they should do music this way. I mean, that's how it seemed. Is that how they were doing it?
Well, it's definitely a system that's put in place to the point where you can't just come in there doing your own thing. That's why a lot of brothers start their own labels, get their own distribution, put music out the way they want to put it out. You understand what I'm saying? Hold on 1 second. So this is why the independent label with the independent artists became very popular. It became popular to the point where, you know, this is all we've seen. So it's very, very important that they have the freedom to be creative. But now, what are they creating is the thing.
Okay.
Are you following me? Yeah.
So you've been in it. Kind of tell us where you see that this industry went. I mean, what was going on behind the scenes? How is it? Kind of give us some insight. Because, see, we're just on the outside looking in.
Going on behind the scenes in reference to what? There's a lot of stuff going on behind it.
Well, I mean, give us some insight on some of the things as far as you saying it's a lot of corruption, it's a lot of secret stuff that's going on. I mean, when you get into it's a lot of, I heard that a lot of gay people control. I know the movie industry, is that true with the entertainment industry? I mean, do they have a plan? I'm talking about these people, these corporations that's running everything. I mean, do they have a plan where they want this to go? And is they controlling the people's minds with the views? What is going on?
Well, I think we need to go back and revisit what Dr. Francis Cress Wilson taught us about racism, white supremacy, and get a working fundamental definition of what that is. And then I think once we do that, we can understand everything else and keep it in its proper perspective.
Okay.
Of course, you know, the music industry, just the entertainment industry, we have to understand is filled with these kind of things going on behind the scenes. But we can actually say nowadays it's no longer behind the scenes. This is right up front in your face.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why Quincy Jones brought Queen Latifah, LL Cool J, and Fresh Prince to L.A. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But what we don't know is what was the plan and who were the participants involved in the plan to carry out the plan. That may take more time than we have today, but this is what I talk about in the psychological covert war on hip-hop. And the reason why, because these three artists that I just named, I came up with in hip-hop. And they were prominent hip-hop artists. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to understand something. But it's written in books that are out right now that tell the story. But we don't listen because we don't read. We don't understand because we don't read. And we don't connect the dots, as Steve Coakley teaches us. Once you start connecting dots, we can understand exactly who the players are and what the game consists of. But you want we want to be in the game, but we don't want to look at the rules.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to look at the rules at all.
Well, since a lot of people, a lot of people do read, but then you have a segment of people that, you know, instead of reading the book, they rather go to YouTube and listen to, you know, someone explain things to them from YouTube or go to lectures. And so we need to use all the different avenues that we have to get the information out to open people's minds and eyes to what's going on.
Exactly. Well, my thing is I do the YouTube thing, but I got to sit with a pen and pad, listen to what people say and what they're teaching on YouTube. Then I have to go and put it under the Professor Griff microscope and see if it makes sense. I got to cross-reference it because you just can't listen to someone on YouTube and then go repeat it.
You got to do your research. Yeah, you do have to do your research and everything. Even with reading the book, you still have to do your research. But we just need to use all different forms of communication to kind of get the information out there.
Right, exactly. Well, that's part of one of the formulas that I use in doing my research, regardless of whether read it in a book or read it online or have a conversation with someone or watch someone on YouTube. I still have to go put it under the microscope. You know, late at night, I got to get with Griff. I got to pray and meditate, and I got to say to myself, okay, in order for me to put this out among the masses of the people, I got to see whether or not, A, if it's true, if it has some kind of credibility to it, to the point where I can cross-reference it and see who else is talking about this.
Right.
See, let me do my research before I put it out there. This is why I love quoting some of the brothers and sisters' shoulders that I stand on. You know, it's one of those kind of situations where you can't go wrong because it's been researched, thoroughly researched.
Right. And so you also, I heard you say that there is a difference between rap and hip-hop, and I wasn't aware of that. I thought it was all just one thing.
No, hip-hop is something that you are. Rap is something that you do. Hip-hop is the umbrella. Under the umbrella of hip-hop, you have the four fundamental elements of hip-hop and everything else that, you know, sprung from the four fundamental elements of hip-hop.
Okay.
And this is not an ignorant audience here that you have listening to you. They're well-informed. They know what the four elements of hip-hop are because we base them on the four fundamental elements of the universe. And this is something that wise people do, because we know and understand we just can't pull stuff out of thin air. It has to be based on something. This is how come, you know, we were able to use a high form of alchemy and put hip-hop songs and rap songs together. You understand what I'm saying? Using all the other genres of music. This is nothing new to us. It's a high form of alchemy. But no one else could do this but us.
And that's true. I mean, it is because, I mean, before hip-hop or rap came out, the music was pretty, it wasn't too much going on. And then, I mean, you did something like Motown did. But Motown, you know, got everybody attention, and that's what it seems like hip-hop and rap did.
Exactly. We don't, those of us that are, that teach, you know, about hip-hop on a level, we understand that hip-hop is energy. You know, when you talk about matter, matter is commonly defined as being anything that that has mass and that kind of takes up space. So when we look at hip-hop as energy, energy cannot be destroyed or created. It just changes forms. So I can honestly say I am hip-hop. When Nas came with the Hip Hop Is Dead album, you know, I think I think Nas was saying the hip hop that we're seeing now is dead. Or the hip hop that we once knew was dead. We need to breathe life back into it. But the next album that he came out with, he entitled it Nigga. So in essence, Black Dot was teaching us that Nas basically was saying to us, hip-hop is dead, nigga.
Hmm.
If we really look into what Nas was trying to tell us. But you cannot destroy hip-hop, Nas. And this goes out to everyone else that's listening to me. We can't destroy hip-hop. James Brown once said to white people, they asked him, what is he going to do about stopping the riots that were going on during the turbulent 60s? He said, how the hell are you going to tell me to stop something I didn't start?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll do my part, but come on. I didn't start this.
And what is going on with Jay-Z with his new rap that's out, and he's talking about the guys that's using, what is it, death to help
death
me out.
Death of auto-tune?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, well.
Is the industry trying to go to auto-tune, and is he trying to tell them to keep it, you know, don't go to, I mean, what is going on with that?
I don't know. I think you're looking into it too much.
So am I?
Hell yeah. The industry has already been there. We've had Teddy Riley. We had Roger Troutman. So I don't understand
okay.
that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So I thought he was trying to tell them they sang it too much. They need to keep it in rap, you know, and quit all of that singing and things that they doing. But like you say, I don't know. I'm just trying to learn. I could be reading too much into it. Now, you also talk about the black church. I've heard you talk about that, too, as far as, you know. And I also heard you talk about when they go up there on the awards and when they get their awards. How come they always say, I want to give thanks to God? I mean, when I'm looking at it on the award show, it looked like a strip, like somebody told them, this is what you got to say.
Well, my thing is, I think they're just kind of keeping it safe. That's the safe thing to say.
Is that what it is?
Thing to do. Just like the football player, when he catches the winning touchdown and the
mm-hmm.
camera's in his face and he got his 15 seconds of fame, the first thing he says is, hi, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
It was Dad out there throwing the football with him. It was Dad taking him to the games and making sure he had a mouthpiece, a cup, and some cakes and some other stuff. But they get on TV and they want to thank Mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's one of those kind of things where we just kind of, it's the 100 monkey theory.
Okay.
You know, we're doing all the same thing at the same time everywhere we are on the globe.
Okay. Okay.
Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want people to think I'm calling black people monkeys. Don't get it twisted.
Right.
Are you following me? It's just the 100 monkey theory. All right.
Now, somebody was asking, do you have any tips on how to get signed to a label?
Tell that person to wise up. There's no such thing as getting signed. No such thing as getting signed anymore. That's for corny people. People don't get signed anymore. It's like,
okay.
Like that's like saying so-and-so discovered somebody. That doesn't happen anymore. The music industry is dead as we know it. Ain't nobody selling no CDs. Yeah, Britney Spears probably sold a few. Jay-Z, Beyonce sold a few. But them people are doing everything else to get paid. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And for that person that asked that, they need to know that the last time someone got actual signed in someone's office, that was a long time ago, man. Those deals don't happen like we think they happen.
Mm.
These deals happen at the strip club, at the crack spot, at the gambling joint, on vacations, on sandy beaches, doing someone else's wife or husband. That's where those deals happen.
Oh, okay.
It's a dirty business, man. You ain't sending your demo in to some A&R guy, and he's listening to it and says, wow, it's a great artist. Let's sign them. Please, that's corny. That's played out. That stuff don't happen.
Mm.
It just doesn't happen.
So what about, and now when you're looking at the videos, it's just like you're going to a strip joint, basically.
For those that haven't been to a strip joint, yeah, they can kind of watch soft porn.
Right. And so, I mean, is that somebody that's who put it in that direction? Because, I mean, when the rap first started out, you didn't see all of that. And then all of a sudden you start seeing it, and then you start seeing it get more, you know, into it. So is that the executive? Is that the Jews at the top that's telling them that, or the directors, or do the artists have say-so themselves how they want the videos to go?
I think before we blame anyone like the Jews or the Italians or anyone else,
okay,
I think we need to start with self.
Mm-hmm.
But where it all started, I think, is when N.W.A. And Luke Skywalker from the Two Live Crew was set up to neutralize Public Enemy. If we look at that period of time, that's when it started.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? We've always had brothers and sisters up on the block bragging, cracking jokes, snapping, signifying, this kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's been a part of, you know, our culture and who we are. But now to take the lowest essence of what hip-hop has to offer and make it prominent, make it fashionable to call yourself a nigger, make it fashionable and beneficial to talk about your mama as a whore and a bitch, oh, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. Then you could say, okay, in cahoots with these other nationalities and races of people and these other people, yeah, we've allowed them to bastardize our children and our culture. We've allowed them to repackage our culture as a culture of death. Of course we could do that. But to just outright say, let's blame that one, let's blame this one, let's blame that one. No, definitely not.
So we can blame them all then, because they all participate.
Hell yeah. that's my point.
Okay.
That's my point.
Now, someone here asked, what do you think will it take to redirect the consciousness that you and Public Enemy have and to bring hip-hop in, you know, now? How can they want to know, how can you redirect and bring consciousness back into hip-hop?
When you say redirect consciousness, I'm unsure of that particular part of the
resurrect,
question.
Resurrect.
Pardon me?
Resurrect. Maybe I'm
resurrect the consciousness?
Yes,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
I think what we need to do, Flavor Flav needs to be taken off the air. Off the small screen before he hits the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I say Flavor Flav, not him as an individual, everything like that needs to be checked. We need to set up a defense mechanism inside of the culture, especially called entertainment, that we check stuff like that. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
When we resurrect this consciousness, it has to be someone there to do the resurrecting. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand that. So if we don't have individuals that can do it, all right, then of course we're going to have a problem. Back then, whoever wrote that question, it's a very good question. I want to thank them for asking it. But back then, we had lectures that we went to every other week, Slave Theater or the local community center or wherever we were.
Mm-hmm.
We had people on the scene speaking truth to power. You had to belong to an organization. You had a degree of consciousness back then. It's going to be a lot more difficult now, because back then, the internet wasn't popular, so you had to read. You didn't have iPods and this kind of thing, so you had to sit down and read a book.
Mm-hmm.
So to resurrect a consciousness, first of all, you don't want to resurrect the old consciousness. You want to resurrect a new consciousness that has enough power and strength, tenacity and juice to check the madness that's going on today. Because the wickedness and the madness that's going on today will make what happened yesterday look like child's play.
Mm.
You can pass gas in a room, and these demons got technology that'll come in the room, extract the air from the room to tell you what you had for dinner and lunch. So you're dealing with a wickedly wise demon nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me?
Right.
So we have to understand that. We gotta step the game up. I notice the pimps, the players, and the hustlers in hip hop, and they're doing rap music. They seem like they got their stuff together. They got mixtapes out. They got videos out, half-naked women and all this other kind of stuff. They do songs with one another. How come the Podcast people don't have this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
So there's a lesson that we need to take from them. And then once we go back to the lab, we're going to say, well, damn, we need to get our act together. How come the old rinky-dink, raggedy-ass church that you find in every city you go in, they at least got a building that they could call our own, their own? But the Tajis people, as clean as we are, smart and intelligent as we are, we don't even have that.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Right.
So we need to understand and take a look at what all these other people are doing if we claim to be conscious.
Mm-hmm.
If we're really going to stake claim to that. And then, last but not least, to finalize the answer to that particular question, whoever asked that question, here's a direct answer. We have to stop reinventing the wheel. Amos Wilson already said it. Dr. Francis Cress Wilson already said it. Marcus Garvey, W.E.B. Du Bois, Elijah Muhammad. I can go on and on and on. Stop reinventing the wheel. There's nothing new under the sun. All of the brothers that are on the front lines right now, we've already said it. Stop thinking you're bringing something new. Stand on the shoulders of all of those that came before you, and let's do the damn thing.
Okay.
I have nothing new to tell anyone.
Okay.
I'm reminding people of what all those that came before us have already said. So go on.
I have a person here that wants to talk to you. Area code 510?
Yeah.
Hi, you're on the air with Professor Griff.
I got a question. My name is Young Real, you know what I'm saying? You can hit my MySpace up at myspace.com/youngmoney57. And I just want to know, like, what's the best way to get into the music game right now, you feel me?
Well, I think we just dealt with that.
You must have just turned in. You must have just turned on and listened. He already dealt with that.
We'll just give him a recap.
Okay.
Getting in the game and then doing what? Because everyone I know that got signed back in the days, they sold less music. They were more popular, but they sold less music. They got paid less money. So what is your intent? What do you want to do? You want to be rich and famous, or you want to be famous? You want to be rich, popular? You want people to know your face and know your name? Or you really want to do some real business and get your music out there?
Just want money, you feel me? Just money. I don't want to be famous, no popular, none of that. I just want money. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, well, if you just want money, you might want to do something else other than music. Because you can't name me one person in the music industry that got a whole bunch of money just doing music. They're doing everything else to get paid. Are you following me? For example, if one person came out with a CD, and it was a fairly good CD, and let's just say they sold 1 million, but they start paying back all of the money that they use for studio time, videos, and manager, lawyer, and this kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They may get X amount of money from that particular CD selling. Selling where? I don't know, because only person that's carrying music now is Walmart, Best Buy, and a couple of other little small little places. So if you ain't got a distribution deal with them, you're in trouble. Everything is going into the digital realm now. Are you following me? So they're trying to figure out a new way to sell you the same old music. But there's tours that they go on that make them a lot of money. There's a sneaker deal that they have that made Kanye West a lot of money. There's an alcohol that came out that made Jermaine Dupri and Jay-Z and Damon Dash a lot of money. See, there's all these other things, bruh, that's making these people a lot of money. It's not necessarily their music. Are you following me?
Yeah, I'm on point with you.
Okay, so when you're developing your music, you need to start thinking of some other avenues in order to make money while you're making your music.
Are you following me? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Okay, we have a caller, area code 313. Do you have a question, comment, or are you just listening? Hello? Huh?
Just listening.
Okay.
Okay, calling from the D.
Yeah.
Oh, in the D. All right.
Oh, so So now you're saying here, you're saying again, so we need to bring the consciousness, and so you're saying people just got to get together, they got to, because like you said earlier, there's no consciousness that's in the music.
No, there's no consciousness in the music because there's no consciousness in the community.
Hmm.
And the music is a reflection of what's going on in the community, and that's a reflection of what's going on in the home. With the family. That's
mm-hmm.
a reflection of what's going on in people's heads and people's hearts. Are
mm-hmm.
you following me?
Right.
So we got to start practicing that way before we make a record. Way before you make a song, we have to start practicing that.
Now, we have some brothers, some conscious brothers, like, you know, Black Dot and all, and there's a lot of conscious brothers that's on, you know, out there talking about what's going on, but it's not getting to the music.
Yeah, simply because we haven't made being conscious and being positive popular.
Okay.
You know, for example, if you go through the hood, You're starting to see brothers wearing skinny leg jeans,
mm-hmm.
mohawk haircuts.
Yeah.
Where did this trend come from? Where did it originate? And who made it popular and fashionable? These things happen with people that they control. Some of the people that I did have respect for, I ran into them last year, and I seen that this is the way they were dressed, and I'm like, well, what's up with that? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of looking kind of soft to me, you understand what I'm saying? So I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure it out. Then I never was one to go along with fads and this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm starting to see it everywhere I go, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is critical. How do we all know at one time to do this? Unless we're under a mind control experiment.
Yes.
Via the music.
Yes. And the video.
I'm just throwing this out there. And maybe some people can call in and bring and enlighten me.
Okay.
If it's not mind control, then how are they pulling this off?
Well, do you think that a couple of children can, you know, junior high, go to school, they start wearing some, the other children start wearing it, and then it just catch on. But this is happening all across the country, though. So it's got to be mind control, because it would just be in a certain community if that was the case.
Exactly. So
mm-hmm.
they said that Soulja Boy came up with his little song and his little cute little dance and put
mm-hmm.
it up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you go, when that song come on, people do the same thing.
Mm.
That's mind control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, I think four or five years ago, D4L, a group out of Atlanta, came up with a song, and everyone was wearing white tees and doing their little dance.
Mm-hmm.
A song came out recently, Stinking Leg.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, where do you go to learn this stuff
hmm.
if it's not mind control? But why are these songs going to the top of the charts? The song by Kaya, My Neck, My Back, Lick My,
yeah.
and all that other kind of madness. These songs become very popular, and they get high ratings on the Billboard charts. There
mm-hmm.
was a gentleman that came out with a song, Afro Man, I believe his name was, you know I get high. You know, like, I talk about how high he get. That
mm-hmm.
song went to number 3 on the Billboard charts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obvious you ain't got to have no damn skills and no damn talent.
Because
some of these artists don't. But I believe that we're under a mind control, just like mm-hmm. MK Ultra and MK Delta.
Yeah. Yep. That's what's going on. And a lot of people got it who don't understand what you're saying. Like you said earlier, you need to start researching and finding out how they're using the frequencies, how they're using this mind control.
Exactly. And how they're using it, why they're using it, and
mm-hmm.
who they're using it on,
mm-hmm.
and to what degree are they using it.
Hmm.
Because these people that they put in front of us are made to believe, like, these people are really, 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 really rich. And we may look at Shaq and Jay-Z and you know, Prince and Oprah and some other people as though they're really rich. And, nah, man, the people that sign their checks and pay them, they're the ones that's really, really, really wealthy. Are you following me?
Right.
So we need to understand that particular dynamic. Yeah, Oprah got some chump change. She eat for a minute. She eating. But, man, I wonder who owns the television station that Oprah's show appears on. How they eating?
Mm-hmm.
Hell, if Oprah is a billionaire, these people must be multi-billionaires.
We have a caller on area code 917. Let's see. 917, are you there?
I am here. Hello, Beverly G. Professor Grant.
Hi.
How are you?
Greetings. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I just wanted to let some of the listeners know. I don't know if they recall this or not on MTV. You know, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, whatever he wants to call himself. He had different bands. He was looking like for different groups, like making the band. And there was one episode where those young men were calling home to their families, and they're like, "Well, where's the check? You know, we have the PG&E bill is due, and the phone bill is due, and where's the money? You know." So it was really interesting. I don't know if people caught on to that, but they're waiting for their contract to be signed, and there was no money coming in, but they had one or two CDs out. They had already gone on tour to different venues, but they don't have any money. That didn't seem right, you know what I mean? So I don't know if P. Diddy's pocketing the money, you know, and like you mentioned earlier, you know, get other businesses. He has a clothing line. He's all over the place. He's on cologne. Now he's come out with some vodka called Shiraz or whatever. I mean, he's just dipping in everything. Everything he could get his hands on to make some money. So I'm not sure if the youth is really noticing that, you know, like are they really taking in and absorbing, you know, the business fundamentals, the basic business fundamentals to be successful, you know. And while they're emulating all these other people that are out there, you know, trying to be like them, wearing the clothes like them, talking like them, you feel me? No, I don't feel you. You know,
right.
You know,
I think that's why they say that.
Yeah, like you have some sense. It takes away your credibility. And if you don't have that, you really don't have anything. And it's a distraction from the person actually tapping into the authentic self, which is why we're here in the first place, to tap into that authentic you and to develop your passion, and eventually you will come into your purpose, which is why you're here in the first place. So anyway, I just wanted to say that really quick.
Oh, yes, I really appreciate your comment. Thank you.
I teach workshops for young girls, so that's kind of basically what I talk about. So hopefully.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, we should let you teach this.
Well, my name is on. I'm all on the internet, so, yeah, you can find me anywhere.
Well, give us, tell us where you at. Give us your website.
I'm on BTR. So it's Tiffany, just like the diamond store, spelled the same. And Dijon, it's D-E-J-O-N. And you can Google my name. And I have a blog, and I'm on MySpace, and I'm on BTR. And right now I'm working at the homeless shelters here in New York City, and I'm writing workshops for the women in there, you know, to kind of let them know that, you know, drop the pain label and you know, don't think of the dysfunction as a part of yourself. Those are things that have happened to you. Those are different circumstances. Take what it is, learn from it, and move on. Don't just wallow in it, you know. So that's basically what I write about and what we discuss.
Okay.
Oh, we really
appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank
so
you, Colin.
Thank
okay.
you.
Professor Grift, they want to know, do you have a website or a MySpace page that they can get in contact with you?
Yes, you can go to MySpace/Professor Grift of Public Enemy. Spelled just like that, Professor Grift of Public Enemy. And I have a secondary MySpace page because, you know, they shut them down when they want to. You can go to MySpace/X Minister. Not Minister, Minister, M-I-N-I-S-T-A. That's XMINISTA. My official website is headquarters.com. It's HDQTRZ.com. It's HDQTRZ.com. But you know what I do, sister? When I do interviews like this and when I lecture, I just tell people, look, if you can't reach me online, email me at 7octave@gmail.com, which is the number 7, the letters T-H, and the word octave, O-C-T-A-V-E at Gmail. So it's 7octave@gmail.com. I just tell people to call me. Here's my phone number. Call me. I've had this phone number for like 13, 14 years, and it's rare that I get a phone call from people. Do you understand? That maybe they're afraid. Some people say I'm intimidating, but trust me, I'm a nice person. But if you're calling me at 3:30 in the morning, breathing hard on the phone, I'm going to have a problem.
Right.
I'm really going to have a problem with that, for real. So my phone number is 678-557-2919. That's 678-557-2919.
Now give us your email again. Give that to us one more time.
My email address is the number 7, the letter T as in Tom, H as in Harry, and the word octave, O-C-T-A-V-E, at gmail.com.
Okay, okay. So, Professor Griff here, what is your plan? Are you still recording or...
Yes,
or
I have a band called.
Go ahead.
No, go on. I have a band called the Seventh Octave.
Okay.
I'm still recording with Public Enemy. We still travel together. We still do shows. And just a young brother, I hope he's still listening. Just a word to the wise. There's other entities that are out there that need music. You know, all the car commercials, the soft drink commercials, the vitamin water commercials, the shoe, sneaker, the warm-up suit, the candy bar, all of them people need music to put behind their commercials. So you can use that as an avenue. Create jingles. You know, so I haven't heard a birthday song in a long time. We're still working off the 3 that we have. So there's different things that you can do to express your talent if you're an artist, if you're a true artist. I think some of the rappers nowadays need to go back to class and pick up an instrument. Are you following me? So, how about some of the artists get from behind the mic and get behind the board, the mixing board, to learn the art of recording music? There's movies, that at least 20 movies I know come out every year. You know, they need soundtracks. They need scoring. Are you following me? So, you know, these are some of the things that I'm into. Like I said, I have 3 books on my desk right now: The Psychological Covert War on Hip Hop, Analytics, which is 20 years of conversations and interviews with myself, and the Music Business, RIP, Resource Information Publication. But I do lectures all across America. Anyone that will have me, I tell people I'll speak on a piece of toast in the desert. It doesn't make me a difference. We need to get out and reach and raise the consciousness level of our people and reach our people. Above that, I'm somebody's grandfather. I'm somebody's father. I'm somebody's brother. I am my father's son. So I'm still in the struggle. I'm a revolutionary. I'm not going to retire in a revolution. There's no home for revolutionaries. I got to continue to struggle until we're free. Even if I have to free you from yourself, are you following me?
Yes.
I'm trying to awaken the God self in everyone.
And that's what time it is.
Exactly. As Flavor Flav used to say, which is a whole other interview.
Now, someone is asking here, could you talk about the blood oath and what type of person will accept such a disgusting oath? Are these people in the same frequency as the psychopath?
That's a deep question. Well, you know, to speak directly to this particular question, we could use the situation with T.I. Mm-hmm. When T.I. get out of jail, will T.I. continue to be somebody's prostitute and let the United States government and law enforcement agencies pimp him here in Atlanta? Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
So we can look at a long list of people, just to make it short, this mm-hmm. part of the conversation short. Let's just look at some people that I believe would allow up into the million-dollar club that had to take the oath and had to go through some of the occult rituals. All right? I'm just going to put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
You do your research, and you call me. My number is 678-557-2919. Let's go through this list real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to sum it up with hip-hop. Let's go back in the day. Did not Michael Jordan reach the epitome and the peak of his game wearing several rings? Then he retired, and they called him back as a tool for racism, white supremacy. And then when he didn't play ball on certain levels, when he took the oath, they allowed him in the million-dollar club. And when he didn't play ball, they took out which member of his family?
His father.
Okay. Did not Bill Cosby reach the peak of his career and wanted to purchase, I believe, one of the networks? And he was hooking up with some other prominent, rich, wealthy black people to do so and was speaking out against some of the things that was going on in the hood. And when he didn't play ball, who did they take from him?
His son.
Okay. Need I go on? I could give you a few more examples.
Well,
so we have to understand
more
now. Let's bring this up into hip-hop. How bad did Kanye West want it? You want it so bad that you wrote a song called Lucifer, Son of the Morning, for your man Jay-Z?
Mm-hmm.
But you want it so bad that you said, which member of his family did he sacrifice?
His mother.
So I can go on and on
yeah.
and on. So there's sexual rituals that they go through. There's blood rituals that they go through. There are different kind of rituals that you go through. What ritual did Fresh Prince of Bel-Air go through to get in the space that he was in? What was one of the first movies that he made?
I don't remember.
Six Degrees of Separation, where he was in the bed with a white boy.
Ooh, okay.
Are you following me? I could go
yeah.
on and on. So these
and
rituals go on.
Yeah, and I notice every movie that he's in, you see some kind of sexual, homosexual thing there.
Exactly. It's always there.
Mm-hmm.
It's always there. The brother, a good brother, the Chief Liberation, who's probably down the internet dial from you, broke down the metaphysical breakdown of Hancock. Put it in your search engine on YouTube just
yeah.
like that. The metaphysical mm-hmm. breakdown of Hancock. Chief Liberation breaks that thing down. And it gives you an inside view on Will Smith and his mm-hmm. homosexual occult rituals that they go to. Black Dot breaks this down also
mm-hmm.
in some of the work he's doing on YouTube.
Yeah.
So we need to understand these particular rituals, and when you sign on to these people and they allow you to come in among them, are you following me?
Yeah.
But we've had these lessons. These lessons have been given to us, you know, some time ago, and we were taught about these people. But you see, they didn't allow us to come among them and see how filthy they are and all their affairs. They didn't allow us to mingle with them, their private beach clubs and, you know, all these other exclusive clubs that they're now letting black people in. We've never mm-hmm. seen this stuff before. And now we're seeing it. It's blowing us away.
Mm-hmm.
But now we know how filthy and dirty he is in all his affairs. So now it's best for us to keep him away from us. The cover was blown off of the Catholic Church with the pedophile priest. I don't hear anybody talking about that.
Right.
There were some individuals that spoke on it, and they silenced them. Just like when the AIDS virus was affecting the large majority of our people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the brothers were coming up with information, and Dr. Frances Wilson came up with information that she said it was written in a book back in the 60s. It was in a book entitled "The Survey of Chemical and Biological Warfare."
Mm-hmm.
And she said this was written a long time ago. So AIDS is not a new thing, unless AIDS is an acronym for Africans in deep shit. Or America is doing this shit. But back to the ritual. Right. Who was Pimp C about to sign with?
Well, say that again. Who was what?
Pimp C, who they found in a hotel, dead. He was about to sign with Rap-A-Lot. With J. Prince.
Okay.
Single on Aaliyah, died in a plane crash. But how familiar is that? That the CIA controls planes and crashing them inside a mountain. Mickey Leland, Ron Brown, and some other people died that way. I could go on and on. Who was Aaliyah engaged to? Damon Dash, who admits that he's part of the Illuminati. Okay. Who was Tupac with when he was assassinated and shot down in front of hundreds of people? Suge Knight. See, when you up in that multi-million dollar club, you got to pay the price. Are you following me?
Right, yeah.
Shining right now is doing a bid for Puffy. Wait a minute now. I could bring you to the R&B world. Jennifer Hudson. If you read about the investigative report that was done on the murders of her members of her family, they said that was a ritual killing.
Mm.
And then you see her kissing her award.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? You want to be up in that club, you're going to have to pay the price.
So, like someone in the chat room is saying, the price is you got to give up a soul.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll see now how this unfolds with Jay-Z and Beyonce. Because when Jay-Z was made the president of Def Jam, the first two people that he signed were known drug dealers.
Mm-hmm.
Jay-Z and Rick Ross.
Mm.
This thing is ugly. So I hope that brother that's want to get in the music industry is listening. This game is dirty game.
So how come the brothers and sisters can't, you know, when they start making the money, why do they have to get into those clubs, those rituals, those groups? How come they can't form their own? Or are
well, some have tried.
Some
have tried. Ask BMF.
Okay.
Which are really good brothers. They still are good. They're victims of this. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Ask some other brothers that have tried record labels. Let me tell you something. J. Prince from Rap-A-Lot Records. Suge
mm-hmm.
Knight from Death Row. Irv Gotti, him and his brother, from Murder, Inc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like these brothers, their offices were all raided by the FBI all at the same time. You don't think that's something for us to raise eyebrows about?
Hmm.
No?
But a lot of people don't really know the full details. You know, they just go by what they hear on the television.
Well, you can ask Damon Dash, who I believe, who I have a lot of respect for,
mm-hmm.
who's a real brother.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if you sit Damon Dash down and you get him locked in a conversation, he'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
He'll tell you. So
now,
we have to understand that these people do not want the masses of young people woken up out of their sleep. And Public Enemy was doing that. They had to neutralize Public Enemy. We were too popular for them to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
They sent a few white women our way, but that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Chuck went and got a job, and Flavor's on some reality shows, but nonetheless, it was too late then.
Mm-hmm.
People were already infected with this thing about getting consciousness. We had already set something in motion that's a lot larger than us now.
Mm-hmm.
So just like the young lady that called in, you know, we don't know what set her on the path to do what she does. I want to believe that I'm trying to aid in that process to wake up more women like her. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm. Now, someone asked, they want you to talk about, what do you think about what happened, the death of Michael Jackson?
that's really deep. And I said to myself, the next time I get a chance to speak in front of people or to people, mm-hmm. be it online or offline, I think I need to offer the family of Michael Jackson and some of the people that respect myself and Michael Jackson's legacy an apology. Mm-hmm. Because when Michael Jackson, when I first heard that he had passed away, I just kind of like, okay, I know a lot of singers and dancers. I know a lot of people that was a tool of racism, white supremacy, that worked for white supremacy to keep our people down. But until I started studying all that Michael Jackson contributed to us behind the scenes, that's when I had to kind of check myself and say, okay, let me understand this in a deeper kind of esoteric kind of way, so to speak, because a lot of times the stuff that we don't see is the more important things. Let me say that in a better way where your listeners can understand what I'm saying. We mm-hmm. breathe air, but you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So right. The greatest reality is the unseen reality. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
So the $35 million that Michael laid out, wow, I never knew that. The $300 million that he laid out for certain things, charities and this kind of, I've never seen that because I don't know anyone that's benefited mm-hmm. from that.
Mm-hmm.
I know the dirty business that Michael is in, and I remember certain instances him speaking out about it. I never knew that Michael Jackson purchased a catalog which included Little Richard's songs and turned
wow.
around and turned around and gave Little Richard back the damn catalog that white people had took from Little Richard, because Little Richard is the architect of rock and roll and not white people.
Right.
Are you following me? So
yeah.
These are some of the things. I didn't know Michael Jackson had 200 never recorded songs that he had written. I didn't know that these people had put people around Michael Jackson to control him, to keep him away from his family. I didn't know these things. Now I'm studying. I'm humbling myself. I'm saying to myself, wow. And then I started studying some of the lyrics that Michael Jackson was putting in some of his songs. Just three songs in particular that I want your listeners to go back and listen to. Man in the Mirror, Black and White, and They Don't Really Care About Us.
Right.
Then I want your listeners and yourself to Google this. There's a lecture that Michael Jackson did at Oxford University,
mm-hmm.
which was told to us by Minister Farrakhan. And the title of the lecture is entitled Heal the Kids. Go look that lecture up and let's see what Michael Jackson was truly saying.
Mm.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
So we need to understand these things, like Griff has to understand these things. But it wasn't until I had to get with myself, you know, in the middle of the night, pray and humble myself and meditate so I could say to myself, okay, it must be a different side to this thing. And then I started putting some things together, and I said, how come they didn't put this man in the ground yet?
Right.
Are you following me? How come they assigned a doctor to him 24/7? Around the clock, that he needed, I believe the minister said that he needed this. What is this stuff that you use when you're about to get surgery? And they have to.
Yeah, the anesthesia when they
anesthesia.
Gave him that. Yeah.
To put him to sleep because his mind was racing and so many things going on in his head. And they had to wake him up out of that. And that's how Michael Jackson died.
Mm.
But, you know, me in my ignorance was only looking at the fact that they allowed these people to turn him into a white woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I bought into some of the hype about the pedophilia stuff. That I was telling my own family members, I said, the hell with that. I ain't sending my children to never, ever, never, ever, ever ranch, wherever the hell he lived.
Mm-hmm.
The hell grown man sleeping with my little baby, he had it in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to take a different look at it and say, okay, Are you following me? So,
right.
So I have to understand it. As a matter of fact, I just have to grow up and be more mature on how we handle some of those that really don't put all their accomplishments out on Front Street.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I could pass away tomorrow. You know, a lot of people can say a whole bunch of things about Professor Griff. I'd want them to say pleasant things about me, but hell, if they don't, I'd want them to look into my life and say, okay, I heard the brother speak. I met the brother once or twice. I want people to be able to say pleasant things about me. But if I was to step outside of myself and look back at my own tombstone, I would want it to read that he is a brother that fought for the freedom and liberation of his people by any, every, and all means necessary. Are you following me?
Right.
So when those prayers that went out and that energy that went out that gave birth to a brother like Professor Griff, I want everyone to know that when I was born and I got the call from the Creator that set me on this particular mission, I'm one of those revolutionaries that are born that I can't compromise with the enemy. I'm not made that way. I'm not made to buck dance and shuck and jive and BS and use our people for some damn breadcrumbs. I'm not made that way. Are you following me? I'm going to see this out to the end. And even when I'm in the grave, these bastards are going to deal with what I say. Period. Pardon me for raising my voice.
Well, no. I mean, you know, that's we feel you, as they say.
I'm telling you straight up, I pray like David prayed. Now, I'm not praying that my enemy despitefully used me, and I'm going to forgive him. Hell no, I'm praying for the death of my enemy.
Well, brother, you sound so hard, and you sound like there's no forgiveness in you, and you shut up.
We just too damn soft sometimes. We always want to forgive people. And these people that we forgive ain't seeking forgiveness. Hell, you're going to forgive someone that ain't even seeking forgiveness.
Right.
The cop that arrested Dr. Gates.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, he was on the front page talking about he ain't apologizing to no damn body.
That's right. I heard the interview, and he was serious.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just want to let people know that, right, he's not apologizing.
Mm-mm.
He's not apologizing. But I want to let people know that if they never heard of Dessalines, the Ferocious, if they've never heard of Matt Turner, if they've never heard of Toussaint L'Ouverture, if they've never heard of Paul Robeson and some other revolutionaries, Garvey, Noble Drew Ali, Nigel Muhammad, Malcolm X, Minister Farrakhan, if they never heard of the Mau Mau, if they never heard of our brothers and sisters, Winnie Mandela, if they never heard of Steve Biko, if they never heard of any of these individuals, I want people to know that, look, them people live inside of Professor Griff, and my ancestors speak to me from within me. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to fail in our duty. We're not free yet. Hell.
No, we're still working on it.
Thank you. But I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know your listeners like, okay, enough, dude. But thanks for having me.
Okay, and thank you for coming on tonight and for giving us that knowledge and that information.
I really appreciate you, sister, and thank all your callers for calling in.
Okay.
Once again, my phone number is 678-557-2919. Just put Professor Griff in the search engine. My MySpace will come up and the rest of my information. Look out for the first book I'm putting out, Analytics, which is 20 years of conversation and interviews just like this. Over the last 20 years.
Well, they
right.
Professor Griff, I'm getting people in the chat room saying they don't want you to leave yet.
Well, I think I can hang around for a few more minutes. I just don't want people to think I'm a rabble rouser, and I don't want people to think that this brother is just, I'm only 5'5", 150 pounds. I don't want people to think I'm talking tough.
Mm-hmm.
But some of us are just not going to capitulate. Some of us are not going to give in to the enemy. You're not going to see me living up in Dix Hills or Alpharetta somewhere in some gated community with a white wife. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry.
And what do you think about this swine flu and they're saying that it's going to come back on the rise this fall?
Well, they're the ones that admitted that there were certain strands of the swine flu that was missing from the CDC in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden people started getting sick. Then they said it was a weaker form of the swine flu. That was the test. Now the real thing is coming, and we're really going to start to see people dying in front of us.
Mm.
Then people are going to know that this is chemical and biological warfare.
Mm.
Like the AIDS virus. And there is a difference between AIDS and HIV. People better study. The scripture says my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And it's true. We are. We seem like ignorance is bliss and we wallow in it. Happy to be damn dumb. Happy to be drunk every damn weekend. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hell of a thing. That's a hell of a state of mind. But... Mm. You know, none can save you but yourself, as Bob Marley said.
That's true.
We need to free ourselves.
Now, so what the people need to do somebody said they have a video that's on swine flu. So what people need to do is just really start building their immune system now before fall get here. And I'm not talking about with medication. I'm talking about with holistic things, herbs and things like that, to kind of build their immune system so they can kind of fight when this come along, this attack.
Well, you have to understand something, sister. The vast majority of our people don't even know what the immune system is.
Mm.
Some people think it's a physical part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not true. They need to be educated on what the function of the immune system is.
Well,
so
can you give us a little insight about?
Coming from Dr. Leola Africa, Dick Gregory, and some other brothers and sisters that have taught us and taught us well, I believe the immune system is that system of the organs that work together and in harmony and in sync with one another. This is why it's imperative that we do a whole body cleanse,
mm-hmm.
that we keep the colon, which is the center of that system, clean and
mm-hmm.
free of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to understand that. So, but you have to understand this American diet that we eat,
mm-hmm.
this Frankenfood, I call it, that we eat, this non-food. We go in the supermarket, and all of the aisles, the middle aisles, that's not food. Are you following?
Right.
The corn chips and the Pop-Tarts and the popcorn and all that kind of stuff. This is not food. We need living food for a living body. Am I right or wrong?
That's true.
Okay, because food is alive. And we need to put living food in a living body. So this Captain Crunch and Frosted Flakes and Number 3 at McDevil's and Murder King and Toxic Hell and Long John Killers, and you're eating at Dairy Queer and all these other places. I even seen in a store in Jacksonville, Florida, they got Rap Smacks.
Mm.
Are you following me?
Mm.
So all these processed food, these cookies and candies and soft drinks, which are nothing but chemicals. What do you think the chemical name for the soft drink is? It's called soda. S-O-D-A. It's a chemical. A lot of us don't drink water and we don't exercise. So all of these places that I just mentioned, Taco Hell and Kentucky Fried Chicken and all these places are killing us because this is not even food that we're eating. So we need to beware of the Frankenfood. Pardon me?
I say we're eating chemicals.
Exactly. Chemicals masquerading as food, as Dr. Suzar teaches us, you know, it is critical. But there's scientists that are out there, holistic health practitioners and teachers, that are out there that have already laid this out for us. We have no more excuses. We have no excuse. If you want to be ignorant with the internet that's available at your fingertips, you ought to be damn dumb. Hell, you could put in a word online and Google a word and you could spell it wrong. It'll correct the spelling and pull up pages and pages of information. Ain't no reason why your ass is dumb today.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We have a caller, area code 917. Hello?
Hi, it's Tiffany Dijon again. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay.
Tiffany on it today.
Yeah, 313. Hello, you just listening?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so someone in the chat room wants you to kind of talk about the spells on certain songs.
That's kind of critical because I am doing a, I'm speaking to black psychologists coming up this week.
Okay.
And I'm devoting the next 3 days to studying the metaphysical goddessry of the soul of hip-hop, which is a pamphlet that I want to put out at the end of the conference. Now, why the black psychologists have gotten together and called Professor Griff, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I know one or two people, Wade Nobles and Kevin Washington and Dr. Kevin Washington and a couple of other people that are out there in that field. I'm not up in that space like that. But I started studying hip-hop along with Black Dot, Sarnetta, A.A. Rashid, Brother Rich, and some other people, Jason Orr, and some other people. And we started going into how sound affects the chemical makeup of the body, how sound affects your DNA, how sound and vibration controls us. So in looking into that from a metaphysical perspective, meta meaning beyond the physical, be it above it or below it, but nonetheless beyond the physical, is a very interesting study that we've taken this gigantic task of trying to break it down because music is sound, vibration, it's its own language, and according to the, how it resonates with your aura, we have to go back and look into the importance of melanin. We have to look into, I'm just kind of speaking off the top of the head, so excuse me for.
But you're telling the truth. You're telling the truth.
Okay, so when you look into the, in what Tahuti taught, in reference to the Hermetic principles, we have to look into, if we have to look into the principles of mentalism, I believe, the principles of correspondence, vibration, polarity, rhythm, cause, effect, and gender.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the point where I start getting the phone calls from people that are listening, and they start to debate me on why I take religion, boil it up, and throw it in the garbage. Because if we just adhere to the natural order of the universe, the vibration, the frequencies, and everything associated with it, that's all we need. This man-made, concocted madness called religion, I don't need. I'd rather deal with spirituality as opposed to some religion. No one needs to tell me when to pray. By nature, I do that anyway. No one tells the bird when to pray. Right or wrong.
Right.
So these natural universal laws, if we only adhere to them, we wouldn't have a problem with homosexuality because we would know the principle of gender.
Mm-hmm.
We would know the principle of mentalism because if all... everything is the all, and the all is the mind and the universe, and everything is mental, we wouldn't have any problems. But I know you're saying, what does that have to do with sound vibration? So we have to understand some how we interact and vibe with the quote-unquote sound. Now, this has a lot to do with your aura and your chakra system and your chakras. We have 12 melanated chakras sitting at the base of our spine. But everyone is familiar with the 7 wheels of light, which are your chakras. And they're responsible for raising your vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And the first energy center and harmonic focal point that come in contact with other people is what people say in the street, your vibe. Oh, I like that brother. He has a cool vibe. Or, now, something up with that brother. He got a bad vibe about him.
Mm-hmm.
Your harmonic focal points, your aura picks this up about people.
Mm-hmm.
So we went into the kundalini and the spirit energy that taps into the pineal gland. I know I'm getting a little bit deep, but your audience can handle it. So
right,
this is what we went into in dealing with the Akashic Records, the electromagnetic field that surrounds the earth. It also surrounds your body, and it's called your aura. So these are some of the things that we deal with. And the Om, which is the most powerful sound in the universe, and the experiments that Masayamoto did with water and this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it gets kind of intricate and kind of deep.
And I also heard that we, all of us, are different notes. Because, like, sometimes you can hit a note and you know, sometimes a song, you could just feel it. It just goes all through your soul. And, you know, I was told that we're, like, different notes.
Yeah, we are. But I heard that the brother that constructed some of the songs that were used to motivate slaves to work, actually, some of those songs, later on, it was discovered that a lot of those songs was played only using the black note or the black keys on the keyboard.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah, yeah.
So when Leola Africa talks about, I have a document in front of me, it says music and speaking sounds. Music is used to calm patients in hospitals, stimulate sexual arousal, and to get shoppers in the mood to spend money, excite crowds at football and basketball games. Music and sound is used to communicate to soldiers in battle and in rituals and in ceremonies, festivals, dances, and religious rites. African chants, i.e. rap songs, were used to motivate slaves to work, slave work songs. African rhythms and harmonies were sung for religious songs, stress, emotional release, and storytelling. African melodies and rhythmic form is present in blues and jazz and every other genre of music. Everyone has that particular note that their frequency is tuned to.
Mm-hmm.
When you say to a person, look, you're working my nerves, that they're hitting a part of you that's making you uncomfortable.
True.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
So...
Professor Griff, I want to get, we kind of short on time, and I want to get a couple of calls in here, okay?
Okay, I'm good.
Answer you, okay. Light a radio?
Yeah. Hello, Professor Griff?
Yes, sir.
First of all, give thanks to you, brother. I've been following your work, and you've been giving this knowledge and information well over 20 years. It doesn't seem like it, but...
I know, right?
I really appreciate
that.
Thank you. My question to you, you've hit on a lot of things, and also thanks to the host, Beverly, for having you. This is a good thing, definitely a very good thing. My question to you, do you work with people? I'm not on the air, but I am definitely going to reach out to you. Do you work with people to, let's just say, items? I have a theory that... all this stuff that's controlling the minds of our youth, okay? Some of this programming, some of this, all that. You obviously work in the music business. But there are tools that I have put in play that looks just like the stuff that's capturing them. It's of a higher vibration. We're producing things that, for example, one of my projects is allowing people to talk to some of the ancestors that you mentioned, literally talk to them, you, visual and everything. Do you work with companies or individuals to build on some of the things that you're teaching us tonight?
I've worked with one individual, and I'm not going to mention his name, but I hope you don't mind me putting the information out there. But to answer your question in short, I'll work with anybody, with any tool to raise the conscious level of our people. But this one individual that I met, beautiful, beautiful brother, we started working on he calls it the silent sound. The vibration that you feel that you don't hear, like the Om. And what if the wickedly wise can program you and put hidden frequencies inside the music to tap into your lower chakras,
yes,
then we can put
yes
hidden music and hidden sound and vibration in the music to raise that vibration.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, yes, I'll work with you, and I don't mind doing what the rappers do. I don't mind collaborating on a small book with you or some information or whatever we got to do it. But the thing is, brother, let's do it. Let's not talk about it. Let's make it happen.
Well, let's say this. If I've been following your work for 20 years, that means that I've been in the same soup, if you will. And I'm not going to give
yes,
you the place for, but I will say this. At great sacrifice, quote-unquote, whatever that means, but to give up something for a greater good is not really sacrifice at all. That's growth.
Right.
One question I'd like to ask you, and thank you so much once again for your insights, brother.
Mm-hmm.
I really mean that because you have been a part of I wouldn't be calling you if it wasn't for some work when I was growing up listening to it, and you and Public Enemy. I think I'd like you to comment
you
on, if you would, is dark matter. And I'll take that up there. Thank you so much, Queen.
Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Beverly, you have some intelligent listeners.
they are awesome. They are awesome.
It would be very difficult, brother, to speak on that dark matter paradigm shift that's going to take place in 2012. I would like to have that brother, I'd like to see that brother off the air, but it's very difficult right now for me to speak on this dark matter. Pardon me?
He has a number. I put your number
okay
in the chat.
But
room.
I want to refer him to Phil Valentine's lecture on the dark matter paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Valentine lays it out for 2 or 3 hours, very, 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 very deep. Phil Valentine lays it out, and there's a couple of other brothers that I know that are on YouTube and do have DVDs out that can break that thing down a lot more skillful
Bobby,
than Professor Griff's
Bobby
few
Hammond
minutes
too.
That I had.
Bobby
yes,
Hammond.
Bobby Hammond also, yes.
Yeah, yeah. We got another
yes
call. Oh, no, they. I guess they hung up. They have to
well,
call
Beverly,
back.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Professor Griff, and I appreciate you coming and giving out the information.
Oh, give thanks. Thank you very much, sister.
Okay. Thank
I
you.
I'd just like to say one last thing.
Go ahead.
You know,
okay,
every time I speak, I'd like to leave people with something positive in case they think was this interview is just something totally negative. I always say it's on my answering machine from Steve Biko, and Dale Jones echoed this particular quote, we always say revolution is not an event, it's a process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Frederick Douglass said, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never, ever will. We may not get all that we pay for in life, but we sure pay for everything that we get. Everything for everyone, and nothing for ourselves. Thank you very much. Peace, sister.
Thank you, and peace and love. Well, that was very enlightening information that we got from Professor Griff. And that's what it's all about. It's all about enlightening people, giving people the knowledge. And so just like he said, you can go and you can get do the research yourself. This is not time for us to sit around and complain. We have to pretty much get busy now. Area code 313, how are you doing, Shadon?
I'm okay. What about yourself, Beverly?
Good, good. You have a show that's on Blog Talk. Could you tell the audience the name of your show and what time you come on?
Okay, I'm Shadon. My show come on at 11:30. And the name of it is The Pages of Time, The Past, The Praises, The Present, and The Future.
Mm-hmm.
And we just talk common sense. Common sense is not very, very common. You got some people walking around here in a daze, and you got some people on a kite flight. But y'all were just about covering the bases today. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, y'all said you've been talking over for 20 years, and you're going to need to talk another 20 years to get a lot of them woke up, because the more you sleep, the more they take control of you, the more they got you.
Right, and that's what the professor was saying. We need to quit talking about it. This is time that we have to get things done. you know, we're talking this time out for talking because they working. I mean, things is changing. The shift is going on. 2012 is here. So we can't talk about it anymore. We have to put it into action.
Well, you know, for us to be 13% of the population of the United States, don't knock yourself down. Y'all did a lot. Y'all came a long way. As the President Bush said, he said, y'all refugees. He didn't lie. Half of us was kidnapped. Half of us was over here. And a lot of them, they don't tell you the reason for the federal war. They couldn't sleep at night because a lot of people was dying. So that's another show. But my point is that we some awesome people. And don't let nobody tell you otherwise, because I'm going, no matter what they've been done to us, we always adapt and figure out a way. Now, I was listening to y'all about the music industry, but you notice how this American Idol and all this stuff jump off of that. But first, excuse my language, but, you know, certain culture didn't want no part of it. Now, look at them. They done took over it.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Right. Well, no, ain't what they do. That's what we let them do. And I'm going, when we get tired, like I said, it ain't no, it's for it. Everybody know who everybody is. And I'm going, so I just get tired of the black race putting themselves down or, you know what I'm saying, or comparing, because I'm going, like I said, I tell people to go to heaven because they're already in hell. I'm like, we're the creators. Like now, they have to catch up with us. Who they mimicking? Us. Who they act like? Us. All right, then I'm going, but black men, the most hunted, the most feared, the most caged, the most disliked on the planet. But everybody, when other people speak up, he want to be heard. When we speak up, I was even on the show with you one time, Beverly, and a young, one of the people in the audience that sit there and said that I was angry. And I'm like, I done taught karate ever since I was in ninth grade. And I'm going, no, I was excited. I can't afford an attitude, and if I could, I'd pay myself not to have it. I'm a black man. I have to think, Beverly.
Okay, so tell us again, what time your show tonight? Name of your show?
My name is Shadon. My show is Bottom Line Common Sense tonight, all right? Then the Pages of Time. It comes on 11:30 Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday night.
Okay. And that's the Pages of Time.
The Pages of Time. I mean, they tell history, but common sense is common. And I mean, if you notice the Indian box, when you look at to keep these programs, some of them have no ending. I said because, like y'all were saying earlier, numbness, no reality. They repeat themselves. They mimic themselves because there's nothing original. And when they see something original, you know, like now, everybody looking, you know, back in the time, people, you know, was ducking bullets. Now people looking for a story, or I was shot. And like I said, you never heard no one say, I almost live. You always hear people, I mean, you never hear no one say, I almost, yeah, like I said, almost live. You heard people almost say, I almost died. See, death is the baddest person I know because he don't play. And I'm going, we play with things. And I'm going, that's not appropriate. So that lets you know we off. And like I said, even now when we look at the idiot box and we see things going on, we don't even jump no more. We hear someone, so we take madness and craziness for information and gossip now. So that lets you know we kind of sick. Even I'm afraid of madness. I get off on it because I see it. It disturbs me. What I mean get off on it as I look for the purpose of it, and I haven't yet. And all these years see the purpose of madness. I mean, if you're going to have a going to fight, get the two baddest guys, what should be for your city or your country, bet on them like Vegas do. And whoever lose that rule for that month or that year or something, come up with some strategy better than this. If I was so brilliant, I would, like they say, I would come up with a way, not to war, just to the way of to win a war.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Shadon, and I'm down to my last seven minutes, and I want to get this last caller in. And so you're on tonight at 11:30, the Pages of Time.
Yes, ma'am. Appreciate you having me on.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Let me see. I'm trying to get to area code 510.
Yes.
Area code 510?
Yes. Professor Griff is no longer on.
No, he's gone.
Oh, I had
sorry
a question. I had a question to propose.
Did you get his phone number and his email?
I didn't get his phone number. I saw it here on his MySpace.
Okay.
I didn't get his email or his phone number or nothing like that.
Okay. Are you his email is 7th.
Hold on. Let me get a pen. Get a pen.
Okay.
You guys got a pen?
And I want to thank everybody for listening. We're down to our last 6 minutes. Okay, 7th. Hello? You got the OC?
Yeah.
T like in Tom. A, Z like in Zebra. E at Gmail. And
okay.
The phone number is
678-5572-919.
Mm-hmm. And
okay.
You should be able to ask your question.
So that's 678-5572-919.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And again, you know, that is what this show is about and other shows that's on Blog Talk, is to get the information out, is to wake people up, because the time that we're living in, we are under attack. And so if you're going to continue to be asleep, you're going to get slaughtered. And the ones that wake up and know what to do, you got to learn how to fight. You know, you got to realize we're not just all physical, we're spiritual too. And so we have to know how to use our spiritual with our physical. We got to know how to balance. And this is how we're going to be able to fight. We cannot fight this that we're up against. We can't fight them with bullets and guns. I mean, they got all the weapons it is. And what we really are, what we have, is our spirituality. And so once we got to learn how to meditate, we got to learn how to get in that zone, we got to learn how to tap into that God consciousness, and that is how we can win. They are all into the spells, but we can do this. This is us. And so I've heard that some people have souls, some people don't have souls. You dealing, and it's like people have power, but it's how you use that power. Some people take that power and use it against you, use it for negative. And so you can't just sit there and it's just like letting somebody just beat on you and you don't defend yourself and you don't fight back. And so how you do that is they're working on us in the physical realm. They're using these deities, these entities. And so we gotta fight them with their tools. And this is where we are at an advantage, because this is where it all comes from, us. And so we've got to know how to call on our ancestors. We got to know how to tap into that awesome power that we have. And so this is what time it is. They keep talking about 2012. We are in it now. It's the shift. We're in the midst of the shift right now as I speak. You can't wait to 2012. And so you see now that we're under attack. We have this swine flu. We have these hidden governments. We have all of this lies, and things are starting to be revealed. And that is part of tapping into that God conscious, that higher conscious, so you can see. You can look and see. Once you see it with your spiritual eye, then you can see what's going on in the physical. You can see the whole picture. You're just not getting bits and pieces. So it's very important that we know what time it is. It's very important that we get things working. It's time. I can't emphasize that enough. And so I'm going to continue to bring guests on, people on, to help give you the information. Like they say, they can give you the information, but you got to go and do the research. You got to go and find out how to get this power working, how to tap into it. I can bring the people on to kind of guide you, but it's, as they say, I can take you to the water, but I can't make you drink the water. And so this is what time it is, and until next Sunday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I will bring you another informative guest. And thank you so much for listening.